ESPN College Football Podcast.
Welcome to the ESPN College Football Podcast. It is Wednesday, October 13th. Kevin Agandi with you. Booger McFarland will soon join us with his DEFCON picks. He has a player on the DEFCON list. And we take a closer look at what the heck is going on at Oklahoma after the madness of a phenomenal weekend. And I'm going to ask him a question with a handful of teams. How good is blank? And we're going to go through some of the top five teams in the country to get his perspective, as well as that team in the SEC that is surprising many, Kentucky, on the road at Georgia this weekend. Before we get to Bogue, two things I want to mention. Our annual NBA opening night doubleheader is Wednesday, October 20th. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics at MSG to take on Julius Randle, former Celtic Kemba Walker, and the Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, 4:30 Pacific. Then it's our primetime West Coast game with the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic, and the Nuggets in Phoenix squaring off against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns, last season's Western Conference champs. Two great matchups to tip off the NBA season on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Also, great to see it last night and hear the theme music. Hockey is back on ESPN. The NHL starting back up, and that means you can stream your team's games over on ESPN+. You can watch every team from the Stanley Cup champs, the Tampa Bay Lightning, to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe now to ESPN Plus so you don't miss a goal. And be sure to follow In the Crease, the new ESPN NHL podcast with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan. Now it's Boog, and let's have some fun on a Wednesday. Boog, you know, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. I think we may hear a lot, considering this is the season of unexpected. This takes us back to, you know, over a decade ago, 2007, because Saturday was incredible. Is this the year we finally see a two-loss team in the playoff? And I'm here to say we will hear that question, I think, repeatedly, but I don't think we're going to see a two-loss team because we have so many one-loss teams to figure things out as we take a look at the top 25 and get you ready for a handful of games, including three curious games on ABC. I say curious because I want to pose one simple question when we look at, the top teams that are on that schedule. But first off, who would have thought that at the start of the year where we thought parity is no longer a part of college football, it's just the top part, and it's like six to seven teams, and that's it. And then you look at, after week six, Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and then Alabama. That's your top five. And then shout out to the entire Big Ten Eastern Division, where you have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Oregon, and Michigan State there. So it says a lot about how strong that division is right now, but I think we're going to have a lot of stuff sort out in the next couple of weeks, as we did on Saturday. We had a lot of stuff sort out on Saturday, specifically about Oklahoma and Texas, but then that led us to other questions about Oklahoma, right? That led us to other questions about Alabama. So I just want to get your thoughts on what we experienced on Saturday in the aftermath and now as we get ready for a new weekend.
Well, to answer your first question about the two-loss team in the playoff, I, like you, do not think we're going to get a two-loss team. I think that there's so many good teams and there's so much parity in a season when we didn't think there would be. I think you're going to have undefeated and maybe a one-loss Alabama make the playoffs. As far as what happened Saturday, man, it was one of those days, Kev, where like there was so much going on. I mean, you got Penn State and Iowa, and you got Clifford getting hurt, and the backup coming in, and Iowa just persevering and just hanging in there. And then the emotion of playing in Kinnick Stadium, I think, eventually won them that football game. What happened to Alabama and College Station? I mean, seemingly everything that could go right for Texas A&M went right, and they still had to win the game at the end with the field goal. So much, this shows you that even when Alabama doesn't bring their A game, they're still tough to beat. And so I thought it was one of those wild days of college football. Oklahoma, Texas was unbelievable. I think Sark got a taste of the rivalry and what it was like and what it's going to be like for years to come. Oklahoma, I think, won a game that they probably shouldn't have won. But when you're able to win and learn, that's the best way to win. And I think what they learned is really simple. The hype on Spencer Rattler has subsided. Doesn't mean Spencer Rattler can't still be a good quarterback, but I think it's very similar to what Nick Saban learned a couple years ago when he had Tua and Jalen Hurts. And it's really simple. It's that for him, meaning Lincoln Riley, you got to kind of play the guy that gives you the best chance to win and not the old dance with the one who brought you. Because the one who brought him to this point so far was Spencer Rattler. But the one that gives them the best chance to win is Caleb Williams. And is that going to change week to week? Maybe. That's why they pay you the big bucks as a head coach. You got to decide that. So many questions, so much fun. And then I know this is not a boxing podcast, but it was culminated by maybe one of the greatest boxing matches that I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend. As much as we love the NFL and I work and do the NFL, there's still a special place in the sports realm for college football that I don't think anything else can take away or touch.
Saturday was one of those days, and I know we're still in a pandemic. Saturday was one of those days where it felt like, all right, there's a sense of normalcy that we've been, you know, lacking for, I don't know, like 19 months. I don't even 18 months, right? Like, cause you had the craziness of college football. You saw the celebration at Kinnick Stadium, and it's just everywhere you go, every channel, there's some madness going on. Then you had the baseball playoffs at the same time. Then you had the nightcap with A&M. Then you had the right after you're just getting done with that. It's like, oh, we got a boxing match, a trilogy that you know, delivered nonstop blow by blow. To your dancing analogy, I will say this about Caleb Williams. He's dancing to the rhythm of the music that I think Lincoln Riley wants in his offense that we have not seen with Spencer Rattler. What we've seen with Spencer Rattler is a guy who knows the moves, but he's not just dancing to the rhythm of the offense. And when Caleb Williams came in and you're down 18 points and you had that big run, and then I just can't get over, Mims deserves a ton of credit because the catch was insane. But yeah, the actual arm strength and throw by Caleb Williams is a true freshman. That was like one of those, he doesn't know any different. He's a true freshman. He feels really good about himself. And in this moment, we need somebody that just doesn't think and just plays football. And it feels like Spencer Rattler's thinking too much. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, just to pick up on your dancing analogy, maybe Spencer Rattler is like you, Kel. Maybe he can't dance. Maybe Spencer Rattler is a guy that needs to be taught how to dance. And that just isn't what Lincoln Riley wants to do right now, or has the time to really break it down and teach him 1-2 cha-cha-cha, you know, do the foxtrot or the tango or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you and Spencer need to take dancing class.
By the way, wait. I was in a local dance competition a few years ago with my wife, Monica. Monica had a dance partner. I had a dance partner. I had to do it for 6 weeks. It was like one of those local Dancing with the Stars, which she signed me up for because she used to be a TV personality in this market in Hartford. She was great, by the way. She should have won. But yeah, I had some moves. I had some serious moves. So I've done more dancing than you've ever done in your life. I'm just impressed that you know what the foxtrot is by just saying it, because there's no way you know what the foxtrot is. No way.
You're right. I honestly have no idea what the foxtrot is. I heard the foxtrot while watching Dancing with the Stars one point, and our buddy Greeny did something very similar for Mike and Mark years ago, where he had to dress up in an outfit with some diamonds that was very bedazzled. So he kind of probably loved the outfit, but I enjoyed the dancing even more. Your analogy about Lincoln Riley. We always look at him as a quarterback whisperer, though. So on one hand, I agree with you that, you know, the type of offense that Caleb Williams can run, which is the quarterback run game, because we've seen him have 50, 60 yard runs so far, the ability to create when the pocket breaks down. And then just an arm that, guess what? You're either born with it or you're not. You can't teach it. On one hand, I want to say that. On the other hand, we say, hey, what does Lincoln Riley do? He takes what the quarterback has and he accentuates it. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, all different kinds of quarterbacks, but they won with them all. So do we want to label him a quarterback whisperer and say he's not doing a good job with Spencer Rattler? Or do we say, well, he's just kind of in the mode where he wants to play or dance to the way that Caleb Williams is dancing now? I don't think you can have it both ways.
I don't want to put this on a young man like Spencer Rattler, but he's had plenty of time in that offense. And if you look at the track record of Lincoln Riley's success with other quarterbacks over the years, now, granted, these are transfers that come in that have had adversity and dealt with adversity. Nothing's handed to them. And that is the guys like Baker Mayfield, the Jalen Hurts of the world that had to deal with their own stuff and said, okay, I've got the talent. I'm coming here now to learn. Spencer Rattler, I don't know what's going on in those practices. You and I can't speak for that, but he's had plenty of opportunity to understand what is demanded from him. Right. I just look at the weapons that Oklahoma has, and a guy like Mims shines when Caleb Williams is there suddenly, and he has struggled actually with Spencer Rattler running the offense. We haven't heard a lot of Mims this season when you know Mims is a really talented wide receiver, right? So I get to that. Where is the, are they executing the way he wants? Is he holding onto the football too much? What are you seeing with Rattler when it comes to the decision-making? Because they've given him a long leash and he's had all the hype coming in, especially coming out of high school. And this was supposed to be his year as a preseason Heisman favorite. And he's stuck with him, even though they're hearing a Caleb Williams chance. What are you seeing from Rattler that just seems like, and this could be the same thing with DJ Uiagalelei. Are they holding on to the football too much? Are they thinking right. about making a mistake first instead right. of just making the read?
So here's what I see, and that's a great comparison with DJ. As far as with Spencer Rattler is concerned, Spencer is a quarterback who's not very big. Let's first establish that. Like from a stature standpoint, he's I mean, he's probably as tall as you, and you are in the world of athletes. You're considered a small person, especially at the quarterback position.
Listen, I'm taller than Kyler Murray. He's another Oklahoma quarterback who had to transfer in. What are you talking about? Like, I'm 6 feet tall.
If your claim to fame is you're taller than Kyler Murray, good luck. Okay, that's all I'll say.
No,
good
my point luck with to you that is you're saying you're making life. The comment that I'm small, so I can't you, relate. Hey, that's ridiculous. Listen,
I qualified it. You are small in the athlete realm. Stop being so sensitive today. All of a sudden today, you're sensitive about your dancing and about your height. Let's kind of loosen up a little bit, buddy. I mean, this is the CFB pod. This is Wednesday, okay? That's what this is like today. It's a relaxed day.
Boog is I feeling got you himself. Laughing. And Boog is feeling himself. Go ahead.
I'm not really feeling myself. I mean, or maybe I am because my pool is all, it's almost time to swim in my pool. So I feel pretty good about it.
The water's in it.
The putting green, the turf on the putting green is almost ready. So I'm feeling really positive about where I am, but not to digress. Getting back to this, Spencer Rattler wants to play the offense unscripted. I think that's the way I would describe it. Like he wants to get back there and be a modern day version of Johnny Manziel, I think. And when you're a receiver, it's hard to play receiver with a quarterback that's running around, you know, kind of not knowing when he's going to throw it, where he's going to throw it, or if he's going to throw it to me at all. And so I think that's what you get with Spencer. Spencer's at his best when he's out of the pocket, on the move, making those athletic plays, throwing, not thinking. When he's in that pocket, or as we call it, the whale back there, he does a lot of thinking, man. And I don't know if he can see over the line of scrimmage. I think he can, but sometimes it doesn't look like he can because he throws the ball in places that I wouldn't throw it. And so I think you have a quarterback who grew up. Spencer is from, I think he went to high school in Arizona.
Yes, he did.
And I think he's in a situation where he grew up being able to improvise and move. And Kev, the higher the levels you go up, the more structure you have to play with. From high school to college, college to pro, the structure changes because we are an offense that likes to run in rhythm. 1-2 again, 1-2 cha cha cha. All right, 1-2 cha cha cha. The high school guys sometimes struggle when they come to college because they're used to 1-2. Oh, hey, turn it up, DJ, and I'm gonna start a whole new move, and they struggle with that. And so I think that's what's going on with Spencer Rattler.
Look at you just tying it back to dancing. Just well done in that entire explanation. So I got two questions for you specifically on this topic. One, who should be the starting quarterback from here on out at Oklahoma?
Caleb Williams.
Okay. Two, a year from now, where will Spencer Rattler be? Will that be at another school? Does he transfer out? Does he do what many of these stars have done and go to and he takes a look at the transfer portal, or there's a bunch of quarterbacks that have moved on? Or does he go to the NFL? Where will Spencer Rattler be next year?
Well, it depends on how he looks at it. If he says, I think my stock is as high as it's going to get, then I think he comes out. I think he's eligible to enter the draft now. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then he can come out in a weak crop of quarterbacks that's going to be led by Malik Willis, Keaton Slovis at USC.
Matt Corral.
Matt Corral at Ole Miss.
Sam Howell.
So it's really not a like I would think right now that group is Malik and Matt. Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Liberty, and Ole Miss. So if you're Rattler, where do you fit in? I mean, I think at best right now, he's five.
I don't know where you fit in, especially where talent evaluators are saying, wait a second, you got benched again and yeah, you couldn't beat out a true freshman. Like,
right. But, so if he looks at it that way, then maybe he transfers and goes to another quarterback whisperer. I don't know where that would be.
Let's just say an A&M. Where's Jimbo at, right?
A&M, Notre Dame, where, you know, they haven't exactly lit the world on fire with Jack Cohn. So, I mean, yeah, if you gave me some of that 6 o'clock Sports Center money that you're making, I would put it on him transferring, because the quarterback position is unique. You can only play one at a time. And so I understand when the quarterback doesn't want to sit there and, you know, rah-rah team guy, and I'm going to go hang out and wait my turn, because your turn could be 2 years away. So if I'm him, yeah, I would probably transfer.
Boog brings up the Sports Center money. There's only one person on this podcast that has a putting green getting installed in his backyard. All right. That's all we'll say. So I want to pose this question, especially when we look at the ABC games, because we have TCU Oklahoma as our nightcap in our triple header. The first game will feature number 3 Cincinnati against UCF. The second game, we get to see number 2 Iowa versus Purdue. I want to pose a question for all three of these teams. And when we're talking about the top 4, Cincinnati, UCF, number 1, how good is Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati is extremely good. They playoff good? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely playoff good. I think if Cincinnati finishes the season undefeated, they're going to the playoff. They're going to
roll. You would hope considering the way they're going, right?
I mean, listen. You can say the wins versus Indiana, Notre Dame may not stack up, but on that day in that environment, to go in there and beat that team the way they did, yeah, absolutely. To be down to Indiana, regardless of what you think to Indiana, and then come back when you don't have your best stuff, yeah, I got to give you credit for that. But here's why Cincinnati is good. Let's not just focus on this year, Kev. Let's go back to last year, Peach Bowl in Atlanta. They got Georgia on the ropes, and if Georgia doesn't get, I believe it was a roughing the passer call and then a field goal, and Georgia won it at the end. They went toe-to-toe with a Georgia team with a lot of the same guys on that defense now that we're saying is the best defense that we've ever seen. Okay. They had Georgia beat on a neutral site. So you take a look at that. You couple that with the wins this year that we spoke of just a second ago with Notre Dame and Indiana and some others, and you factor in the fact that they have a veteran quarterback who is mature beyond his years. He's different than any other quarterback, I think, at the top programs. He's settled in. He's married. He's a father. He's focused on football. He's almost a pro, Kev. Think about that. Like, Desmond Ritter is really a pro, and he's approaching the game like a pro. So the game is slowed down, so he's playing at a really, really high level. And I love Luke Fickell. Like, I just love, you know, we always talk about Temple Tough, and that was years ago, you know, when you guys were actually tough. You know, right now it's Luke Fickell, the Midwest, his personality is imprinted on that team. I just love how the team has taken on the personality of being a blue collar team that's led by a veteran coach that mentally is tough. Now I know they're mentally tough because they went in the South Bend, they were down at Indiana, they won that game. I go back to last year against the big bad SEC in Georgia, they had them on the ropes. So they are a mentally tough team. Yeah, Kev, they are playoff worthy. And if they win out, which I expect them to do, they'll be in the playoff.
23 straight wins at home. We will see them showcase once again. Desmond Ridder's 35-5 as a quarterback at Cincinnati. Top 10 in scoring, as well as a top 10 scoring defense. They've done everything. Their only loss in the last 2 years or year and a half was against Georgia. And if they don't, they go undefeated and they don't make the playoff, then we'll never see a group of five team ever get in, ever, right, no matter what, because this is the best chance and the best opportunity from the outside to get in and crash the party, especially when you saw Alabama losing, and Alabama can't afford to lose again, right? Ohio State, you know, can't afford to lose again. When those teams already have that one loss, and if they trip up at the end of the season in a conference title game, and then we have that conversation, can they get that? That conversation's done now. Like, it's done with Alabama. It's done with teams like Ohio State. It's done with teams like Penn State because they already have the one blemish. So Cincinnati's, this is their best chance here the rest of the way.
Let's throw this out there, Kev. Okay, yeah. Since we love, this is like America's favorite thing to do. Okay. Let's take a look at undefeated Cincinnati. Mm. Undefeated, not even undefeated. Let's go one loss Big Ten champ, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go one loss SEC champ, Alabama. One loss Georgia, losing in the SEC title game.
Now we're getting into Cincinnati. The dirty stuff.
Yeah. Now give me your four based on that scenario.
Now you're getting into the really nitty gritty, right? Because Georgia losing once, it depends on the score to Alabama, right? Considering what they've gone through, because then you would have to consider them. And then Alabama running through everything and beating a Georgia team with that outstanding defense, then you're starting to say, okay, then we got two. Ohio State, just think about this. Ohio State's got to deal with Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, potentially Iowa, right? So they have a strong case. I mean, you just ran the gamut there on three teams that would, you would have to consider to get in, and then Cincinnati. But boy,
people
I didn't lose even their mind. Then you have Oklahoma there, right?
Oh, I didn't even throw out undefeated Oklahoma Big 12 champ.
Yeah, so then it gets really interesting on where they put the respect. And then this is where I think the rest of the way Cincinnati hopes that Notre Dame bounces back and wins the rest of the way out, right? Then you got to start, you know, depending on how these other teams play. That's an interesting conversation, and I think one that we will get deep and dirty in if it continues to hold true in the next month with teams playing out. Let's get to the next game, because I have the same question I want to pose, and that is number two, Iowa, taking on Purdue. Purdue coming off a bye. Iowa forces you to make mistakes. They'll break you eventually, as we saw Sean Clifford go down because Penn State was in control till the injury. And, you know, the backup, Taquan Roberson, was just completely outmatched because Iowa's defense is so disciplined, and the decision-making, it was ugly in the second half for the Lions. How good is Iowa in your mind?
I think Iowa's very good. I think the only way Iowa can be borderline great, and I would define great as playoff worthy, they got to get a better receiving threat. Right now, Sam LaPorta is their leading receiver. That's a tight end. Like,
That's Iowa, right? That's Iowa.
I love Sam LaPorta, but he ain't exactly Travis Kelce. Okay? He's good, but I don't think he's that good. So how can you have an explosive offense when your leading guy is a tight end? So I need a receiver to step up. Like, who's going to step up at the receiver position for them to be able to take that next step? Because right now it's Goodson, it's LaPorta, you got Johnson. Like, who's going to be the guy that's going to be, okay, very similar to the way that Penn State has Jahan Dotson, and we can take the top off your defense, and we can create a big play, and we can create space. Right now, Iowa has no space. So, yeah, they're good, but they are a bona fide, consistent receiver away from being what I would define as great.
You know what I find fascinating, too, in our discussion about what you just played scenario-wise, specifically about Ohio State, me mentioning, you know, who they have to face. Don't forget that one loss is to Oregon. So eventually they're going to have to hope and pray that Oregon loses, because if that's a head-to-head. And now Oregon, they lost to Stanford. But the question will be, you know, things, how does the committee view, you know, Joe Moorhead not being there, CJ Verdell getting hurt, that win, you know, in Columbus where you don't have Thibodeau, you know, playing? Like, how do you view all that stuff? Like, there's a lot of scenarios here that open the door into this conversation.
So if you get one loss, I think Oregon has one loss to Stanford. So you get one loss Oregon, Pac-12 champ with a win on the road at Ohio State. You get one loss Big Ten champ Ohio State. Who would their best win be at that point?
For Ohio State?
If Ohio State runs the table, wins the Big Ten,
you can make a case that Ohio State could say, we just beat Michigan. Who knows where Michigan State is at the time if they beat them? We just beat Iowa. And if Iowa's number two right now, where will Iowa be if they run the table up into the championship game, right?
Correct. Right.
So then you start to deal with questions. Do we see a one-loss Big Ten team enter the conversation? A one-loss, like when I say a team that loses in the championship game, like we're entertaining in the SEC side, if Georgia were to lose for the first time, can they get in, right? Can Iowa get in if they were to lose in the Big Ten championship game?
Like, no.
There are so many. I hear what you're saying, but there are so many scenarios that have to be played out.
In the scenario I just threw out, if you have one loss Pac-12 champ Oregon, and we're comparing one loss Big Ten champ Ohio State, then I'm going head to head. Hey, we came to your house, we beat you. I get it. You may have a few more quality wins, but I came to your house and I beat you
without our best player.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that will be really interesting to see how Oregon, because Oregon's got clearly the worst loss out of all of them when you look at it, losing to Stanford and how they lost, but then how will the committee view that loss? There's just a lot of things to go through.
I told you things always get tricky on the farm, man.
You're right. I just hope that Cincinnati's not paying the price for all these scenarios that we're talking about. It sounds like it is down the road. How good is Oklahoma? That's our third game here against TCU.
Oklahoma is as good as Caleb Williams can be the rest of the season. Oklahoma's defense is never going to be Georgia. Like, they're never going to come in and pitch shutouts.
Bro, we don't want them to be like Georgia. We just want them to be like Ole Miss. Can they stop anybody? That's the question, especially on the back end. They can't do anything with that. It's not gotten better with Alex Grinch.
Hopefully DJ Durkin at Ole Miss isn't listening to this podcast. Hopefully he's not. As far as Oklahoma, how good can they be? As good as Caleb Williams can be. And what I mean by that is this. Oklahoma's mentality is always going to be like the Golden State Warriors. Like, we need to score 40 to feel good about ourselves. Then we're going to strut and we're going to shimmy. We're going to do all kinds of things at that point. And everybody's going to feed off of that. Man, when they're scoring 21, man, nobody's happy. It's frustrating. The entire mentality, like, they're not built to grind it out. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. They want to play 110 to 105. And if Caleb Williams can do what he did the other day, they can play 110 to 105. Mm-hmm. So they are as good as he can be, because to your point earlier that you made, now he opens up Brooks, Mims. It's so much more that the offense opens up once they get into a splash brother mode. When, hey, you shoot a three, you want to score. Like, when they get to that point, man, and now Lincoln Riley is dialing up plays. Now we look at the creativity of him, and it's like everybody's happy, because you know at his core, Lincoln Riley thinks he is the college version of Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks he's that. Well, he can't show that when it's 21-17. Yeah. Like, he wants to be able to dial it up. Prime example, the two touchdown runs that Brooks had, it was a creative play, but it was a repeat play. It was a counter O. They pulled a guard. They pulled a tight end. Counter OF to the left. And it was the same play. And it was basically a walk-off. And that's how Lincoln wants to be viewed. So, yes, all depends on Caleb Williams, my brother.
Can't wait. We will see them in prime time against TCU. How does he handle it? You know, everybody loves the backup quarterback. But now – at the taping of this, we still don't have an announcement, and Lincoln's doing what he's doing. You got to make sure, you got to keep everybody happy, right? You got to make sure that
he doesn't need to announce anything for me. Like, he doesn't need to make an announcement. It's kind of like, Kev, it's kind of like you. Listen, if I walk outside right now, it's 90 degrees and sunshine. I don't need to look at the weather report to confirm that. Like, I already know what it is. I can look outside. I can watch the tape and know it better be Caleb Williams under center Saturday night.
Okay, I agree with you. No one's disputing that, but Lincoln Riley makes sure that he's not announcing it yet, especially when you have the team. You've got to make sure the entire team is behind it, and we'll see. how that plays out. All right, let's continue this. How good is? Because I'm really curious to hear your answer to this specifically, because it's the marquee matchup in the SEC this weekend. Kentucky and Mark Stoops. Last time they started 6-0, Bear Bryant was the head coach at Kentucky. It's been a while. How good is Kentucky before going to Athens this weekend?
I put Kentucky and Michigan in a very similar view. They understand who they are. They understand their identity. They are a physical football team. Defensively, they are athletic. They can fly around defensively. They are super well coached. And Will Levis has given them, I think Will Levis was where he was at Penn State.
Penn State.
Right?
They could have used them this weekend.
Oh, tell me about it. Correct. He's given them an element of a dual threat quarterback that I think is plays well with this team. He's physical, big kid. He's not super fast, but he's almost like a Tim Tebow that can throw better. Like, he's physical. He'll run over you. How good are they, Kev? I just don't know if they're explosive enough. Mm. I think that'll be the key. I don't think they're going to be the lineup and just hammer Georgia. Nobody has. I don't think anybody will. And so, can they be explosive enough in the passing game? Like, Georgia's defense is very similar to what Alabama always is. Like, to beat them, you got to have a quarterback that can make NFL-type throws. Is that Will Levis? I don't know. I doubt it. I'm going to give him an opportunity to prove me wrong. I think this is a game that Kentucky can be a winner even if they don't win. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if they go out there and they play Georgia the way Florida played Alabama and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, we are going to salute Mark Stoops for the coaching job, because he's taken recruits and coached them up, and they've gotten better and better going up against Kirby Smart, who's picking and choosing five-star athlete from all across the country. So Kentucky can actually win by not winning if they keep this game close. It's a measuring stick game, I think, for their program based on that. But I do not expect Kentucky to win. However, they are a very, very sound football team that understands who they are. The key will be very similar to Michigan, is when you take away what they want to do, which is be physical and play bully ball, can they do the thing that they really don't want to do, which is throw the football and be explosive?
In a season of unknown, the only sure thing in all of college football each and every Saturday is Georgia's defense. That's literally the only thing we know, no matter what, that they're going to come out and ball. So
there are two things, actually.
What's that?
Two things. Georgia's defense and the fact that if they tune into ABC on Saturday and they see you, you're going to be leaned a little bit to the left and you're going to have some nice gel in your hair. Like, those are the only two constants in college football. Like, you can count on those two things more than anything else every Saturday right now.
I won't dispute that second one either. That's an excellent point by you. Listen, I do a natural lean, man. And that to me is I'm leaning into you because I'm listening closely to what you're saying. I'm like the entire audience. I'm tuned in to Booger McFarland's commentary, right?
Or you are trying to, just in case I get a single, which I never do.
Stop.
You're leaned in to get into my single.
Nothing. Listen, we're so far away on that desk. I mean, come on. There's no way I can even get into that. I'd have to jump to get into your shot and lay out. There's no way. By the way, the lean is for people that are trying to say what the heck is going on. It's an inside joke with Booger and our producer Rob Lemley that they like to discuss often about a natural lean that I do, and I do it all the time. I don't even know that I do it. I'm a hands talker. I like to use my body as physical communication. So I like to lean in. I'm very much into what you have to say. And I'm very much into what you have to say about this next segment as we wrap things up. And it's time for DEFCON. And today we've got a team and a player. So let's start with your team.
Yeah, my team, as far as DEFCON, is the University of Miami that we thought was back, but they still haven't gotten back Hurricanes. DEFCON 3.
DEFCON 3.
Kev, we have a Miami team that's 2-3 currently, that's going to take on North Carolina this weekend. Coming off a loss, to Florida State, North Carolina. It's probably going to be a little ticked off. Manny Diaz, the seat. If the seat is hot in Baton Rouge, then the seat is in fuego in Coral Gables down there with Manny Diaz. Probably going to go to 2-4, although I'm not sure which North Carolina team is going to show up.
Listen, we love our boy, but we have no idea what team's going to show up.
We really have no idea. Like, where's Miami at? Like, okay, Derrick King out for the season. Somebody tweets out that Manny said that Derrick King opted to have shoulder surgery. Derrick quote tweets that opted with a question mark. So there seems to be some miscommunication in the program. You're losing on the field. I just wonder where the Miami Hurricanes are, how far we've come from the smoke in the Orange Bowl. And we thought Manny Diaz, one of their own, was going to kind of resurrect it a little bit. He's done anything but that. And we're kind of nearing the end of the Manny Diaz era. There seems to be a lot going on at the University of Miami. And I think it's only going to get worse, like it is at other programs, before it gets better.
By the way, if you're wondering where the team in Baton Rouge is on Boog's DEFCON list, he had them at DEFCON 1 last week. So it hasn't gotten better after losing to Kentucky. So you can imagine where he feels and what he feels about the Bayou Bengals. All right, let's go to your second DEFCON, and it's a player. Who you got?
DEFCON 1, first time we've done this, a player, Spencer Rattler. DEFCON 1. Preseason Heisman favorite Mel Kiper Jr. had him as the number one overall pick when we did when we finished the 2021 draft. He's gotten benched 2 years in a row. He hasn't played well. You could argue he's on the verge of having to find another home. How far the mighty have fallen, Kev? And I think he's at a crossroads right now. And I think not only from a football standpoint, but I think his manhood is going to be tested because of all the things that I just listed. So I just wonder where Spencer Rattler is mentally and where does he go from here? He started so high, but he's fallen to a point right now, Kev, where I think he's lost his job. So he is at a point where, as we say in the country, he can barbecue a mildew. Hopefully he fires the grill up and barbecues, because if he mildews, it'll be one of the greatest falls that we've seen in collegiate sports, to go from number one projected pick by Mel Kiper, Heisman favorite, to really off the map. So I think he's at DEFCON 1 right now on the verge of implosion.
I still think that there's potential hope for Spencer Rattler for one reason. When, don't forget that Oklahoma-Texas game, when they had to go for two, Rattler came on the field, right? So there's a sense of trust that Lincoln still has with him, which I found interesting. I was like, whoa, you're going to go with, we're going back to Rattler? So I'm kind of curious to see if we see Rattler potentially later on this season, if we see any struggles from Caleb. It's like a, hey, it's your final chance now. I've given you a break. What can you do? But you're right. When you have all this hype and you're benched again for the second year in a row and you don't come back, and then the true freshman leads the team from a 18-point comeback, it says enough at the moment right now, heading into the game against TCU. Boog, it's been great. Go enjoy the pool. No matter how many putts you make, you will not be a scratch golfer, no matter what.
I love it. Hey, Kev, remember, 1, 2, cha-cha-cha.
Big shout out to Booger McFarland. Always fun with him. But honestly, that's the only time Boog has ever talked about dancing. I think he only knows 1, 2, 1, 2, cha, 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 cha. Literally, that's the extent of it. The ESPN College Football Podcast will be back tomorrow. Our man Joey Galloway is back. He'll be making the Week 7 picks as we debate, discuss, and mostly argue, which is always a fun thing. Plus, we'll empty the notebook with one of our ESPN.com reporters and set the table for all the action over the weekend. Big shout out to Taylor Schwenk on the other side, our fantastic producer here on the podcast. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.